If you do not know this man right here, his name is Jim Starks, and Jim looks the same as he did 20 years ago when I met him. He is an amazing man. Jim, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but I know you're getting up there.
I'm 90. 90.
90 years old. And
because of him, not because of me.
I remember when I met him 20 years ago, when he was 70. And the first thing I remember about him is, what is a 70-year-old man climbing on a ladder two stories high? He was my hero back then, and still is today. Jim is one of the elders that's responsible for us being here today, along with Ronnie Jackson on the screen behind us, as well as Bobby Groves, who passed away. And we want to honor Bobby's memory today, because Bobby had a lot to do with the construction of this building. And this was a very well-built building, to tell you the truth. This thing will survive most hurricanes. So we're pleased with Bobby's efforts on that, and so forth. But this story goes a lot further back than this building.
Yes.
And Jim's going to give you a little bit of history on that today, because he was here way back when.
Yeah, almost from the inception of this congregation. The first couple of meetings were in Barbara Nicholson's home. And then Shirley and I were living in Houston at the time. We had still had our home here. And I was given an opportunity with another company to return to Tampa. And it only took me a second and a half to say yes. So we returned here. When we did, we found this little congregation, and we began meeting in the math building over on the University of South Florida's campus. And that went on for a while, and then we moved to another small strip mall where we tore out walls and put up things. And then from there, I can get into it later if you've got questions about it, but Alex Humphrey appeared on the scene. And Alex Humphrey was the pusher, because he was pushing us always to do more things. And so with his help, and with the help of Dale Larson and others in the community, we began to realize the future of this congregation and where it could go. And so I'll let Neil go on, but I'll bring you up to this date. We had bought a building on Crenshaw Lakes Road, and we were known then as the Northeast Tampa Church of Christ. And Dale Larson came to us, and the congregation at Florida Avenue was struggling. They were down to some 18 members. And Dale said, we'd like for you all to join us. And we said, well, why don't you all let us join you, and you join us? We'll move from our building on Crenshaw down to Florida Avenue, at which time we explained to the people there, the remaining folks, that our plan was to sell our building on Crenshaw, pay off the debt on the Florida Avenue building, because there were two or three members down there that had their houses mortgaged to pay the debt on the Florida Avenue building. And so we paid all of that off. We were able to do that with the monies that we got. And then from there, we began with the idea, and we told the folks down there right up front, we don't plan to make this our permanent residence. We're looking around. We would like to move a little north. We didn't think maybe quite this far north, but at the time we thought it was a good idea to begin moving north, because there was really no church up here. And so as it all turned out, we were able to sell our building on Florida Avenue. This is all prior to Neil and Nancy. We sold the building on Florida Avenue. We thought we started moving out, only to find out 3 weeks later that the deal didn't happen and didn't go through. And so we thought, oh, okay, what do we started moving back in. Well, we then wound up selling it to a wonderful group of people that I had, some of whom I had known for a while. We sold the building to them, and they were kind enough and generous enough to allow us to use that building, not on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We were allowed to use the building free of charge for the next 2.5 years. And so what was really kind of interesting was about that time, we were stumbling around looking for places to be. In 2004, Nancy and Neil and family showed up. And in June, I believe, of 2004, we hired Neil to become on. And I'll say this in front of him, we've never looked back. We were happy with that decision. We're still happy today. I'm thrilled that he's still here and that he's still able to deliver the messages that he delivers to this congregation. I told him that we were in Lafayette, Louisiana, but for the last year and a half, we attended here because every Sunday morning, we would get on the screen, we would watch the ceremony, the meeting of this congregation, we would take communion with you all, and we would listen to Neil's sermons, and it was great. There was a problem with the church in Lafayette, Louisiana. I won't go into it, but it was splitting and it was fragmented. And so a new congregation was begun called the Acadiana Church of Christ, which I'm now a happy, proud member to be with that group. But all of that aside, 2004 was the beginning. We spent 2 years kind of looking for some place to go, and we found this piece of property, this land. And then we scrambled trying to figure out how in the world are we going to afford it. But every time we wondered what would come next, he would answer.
Amen.
He was always there, every time, without fail. We would have a difficult situation, and Ronnie can attest to this, because Ronnie was the one keeping the books, and he knew how little money we had. But he also knew what the challenge was and did a magnificent job of not only putting together a package for this group so that we could afford the land, but also that we could afford this building. So what was interesting was when we left Florida Avenue to move up here, we decided to rename the congregation. It seemed only fair. What was interesting was it was the first day of the first month of the first year of a new century. So on January the 2nd of 2000, we became the North Tampa Church of Christ. And that's your history, folks. A little bit. I could tell you a whole lot more, but I don't want to take up his time.
Just by a show of hands, how many of you would be willing to mortgage your house to help build a church? Just raise your hands right now. We got one, got two, and the elders will be seeing you tomorrow to talk to you about that. But it took a lot of sacrifice to get here. And that is the thing that over and over that we saw people making sacrifices. I'm going to turn Ronnie on for just a second because I got a question for Ronnie. There's a delay, so if we don't do it this
when
way,
I
we can't
home,
hear him.
When I go home, you need to mute. When I talk.
This technology is great. But when I turn him on, I'm going to ask him a question about what some of the things that happened, but there will be some reverb. Please do your best just to ignore the reverb. All right, let me get Ronnie on here.
He was on.
Ronnie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Ronnie, Jim and I have been talking about some of the sacrifices that was made and some of the things that happened during the transition from Florida Avenue to here. Do you want to comment on that?
From Florida Avenue, well, there were certainly a lot of challenges, whether it was zoning issues with the county, financial issues, getting construction people together. The challenges were there, but I've often thought the one thing that was there was God's help. The fact that he guided us through this whole process. He presented us with people who had skills. It's amazing. You think about this building, how much of the work was done by the members. And I think back to Bobby. Bobby had a tremendous background in construction, and he pretty well took the construction aspect of it and found our builder and everything and did that way. We had a lot of we had so much help from construction, landscaping, wiring, video, stuff like that. We had a lot of people with a lot of different skills who were willing and able to pitch in and help. So that made the transition from Florida Avenue up here easier. We had the property several years before we started the construction. And something that we started that I think guys continue on is the tent service. The fact that we started doing an occasional tent service up here, renting a tent. An interesting thing about that I thought about, when we first started this, the county wanted to charge us property tax because we didn't have a building here or anything like that. So we were able to not have to do that because we were able to show that we had had worship services here using our tent. And that saved us several thousand dollars back then. And because of that, I understand you guys still do an occasional tent service. That's a tradition that needs to continue, because that was a big help and something that I think everybody thoroughly enjoyed. A big thing too was the fact that everybody pitched in, everyone had skills, everyone bought in. This was a situation when we did this that people could have, had some grumbling, murmurs, afraid of debt, different things like that. To the man and to the lady, I think we pretty well were in agreement. This needed to be done. Get away from the Florida Avenue area up here where we've got growth. So that's my chief recollections of that. And the fact that everybody pitched in, the fact that everyone helped. And I don't know whether you guys mentioned Dale Larson or Alex both, but Dale and Alex both were so instrumental in getting this ball rolling. They provided inspiration, leadership, a ton of experience with congregations. Matter of fact, the first person to tell me that you ought to buy that property up there was Dale Larson. So, because he went out scouting for property a while back, and he was serving as an elder at Florida Avenue at the time, as well as preaching. And he's the one that said, go look at that property. And sure enough, a short time later, we put a bid on it.
Ronnie, before I mute you again, one question. What's your favorite memory of that time together?
I think at the time it seemed like a lot of fun, but I'll tell you, Jim, Bob, you and me spent an awful lot of time in some meetings. I mean, I think we're meeting daily sometimes, just trying to plan all this out. And the closeness that the four of us got is probably one of my fondest church memories ever. And the fact that we're still close today, the three of us and Bobby, of course, till he passed away. But the three of us are still close today. We're still best friends, good friends. And that to me is the thing. Plus the members. And I know it breaks my heart when I see the members passing away that have been here for a long time. And I know we've had several, but they've gone on their reward. So that's a happy thing. But the members, just so many great people. And I've been in a church for all my 70 years. I've been going to church, and I've had a lot of good memories. But the best memories I have is North Tampa, our time in Tampa, and it was a very sad day when we left. But it's good, and I'm glad things are going well. I know we had COVID had a rough time on everybody. Seems like you guys have recovered well from that, a lot more than some congregations have. I pray for you, and I'm glad you guys are doing well.
Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate that. So we're going to turn the camera around now for you, Ronnie, so you can see this. So you can see everybody. All right, so I got the same.
We had originally planned three nights planned to be there, but we have had
been having a tough time. We're about there now. We both said today, I said this is the first time we're feeling pretty much back to normal. So I'm trying to get down there. If you ever get the Rays to the World Series, I'm going to come down for that. But the way things are going, that may not happen this year. So but I get down there periodically. So we'll see everybody in a few months.
Good. Thank you, Ronnie.
During that time,
there are a number of them. I often thought back as we were sitting here on a Sunday morning. I would look at the back of people's heads and I would look at faces and I thought, how many good brothers and sisters in Christ are we standing on their shoulders that we even have the right to be here? And God had been so good to us, well beyond our expectations. And Ronnie and Bobby both agreed. There were nights when we met up here and it was more than ringing hens time. We weren't certain what was going to happen. But Bobby was unbelievable when it came to this building and all of the detail. And the thing that really stood out, the one thing that I remember him saying several times, this building was so well built and these inner walls are so thick that if a hurricane were to come through town, you all gather down here because you'll be safe here, maybe not in your home, but you would be safe in this building. It was incredibly well built. I remember the times and all of this coming together, and I agree with Ronnie, it was because there were members of our family that were ready to do things that we didn't even know they could do. And they performed magnificently and time after time after time. But I think probably the highlight of my being involved with this was the Sunday morning in August of 2008 when we opened the doors and literally filled the building. What was funny was that the four of us all laughed. We thought, well, we're building a building for 5 years. We'll probably get it full in 5 years and then we'll have to worry about what to do. Well, the Lord told us to plant the seed and he would give the increase. And boy, he kept his bargain. We filled up this building in 1 year. And then we began saying, looking at each other, what do we do next? How do we add on? Bill Hemphill, when Bill was an elder, he was involved, and that was about 2011 or 2012. He was involved in designing and building and even getting information regarding putting a educational wing on the backside of this building. And all of those things are still alive, I understand, but I'll let the elders speak to that. But it was incredible what had happened and the growth that was here. And we all had the sight that we were living in a community that literally did not have a church. And we wanted to be that church. We wanted to be that city set on a hill, that our light would shine out, the light of Jesus Christ would shine out into this community, and that every one of us would have an opportunity to welcome in new brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I guess overall, it's just a general, I get nostalgic when I drive back into Tampa and I see this yellow building. I'm going, why did I leave here? I'm like Ronnie, you know, we had some very, very mixed feelings about moving to Louisiana, but because of our age and all of that, we felt our youngest son is out there, Todd. Many of you remember Todd. And our oldest son, Keith, is here. And so we have a motorhome, and we're one of these up and down I-10. I get in my motorhome and hit go, and it knows the way. So we will be back on a regular basis as long as we can. But so much of this is all wrapped up in you folks and those that have gone on. But I really do miss it. This is always going to be this is our church. This is, we belong to this group.
Amen. Amen.
We'll always be that way.
I just talking to you and Ronnie and thinking about Bobby and the meetings we've had and the closeness that we shared, during that time. It brings a lot of emotions, but I'm going to answer the question I've asked you. And Ronnie, one of my favorite memories is we were not supposed to be in this building because we did not get a certificate of occupancy. But we broke the law. And we came in here and we got some chairs and we had some worship services in here beforehand.
There was no carpet, there were no chairs, there was nothing up here. As a matter of fact, underneath this wood are the signatures of all of the people that gathered for services here, because all of the crooks needed to be identified.
But it's not just their signatures. We took Sharpies and we wrote out our favorite scriptures up here. And the reason behind that was we wanted this pulpit to be bathed in scripture. And it was, I mean, it was an emotional night just looking back on it to see everybody up here writing their scriptures and the time together. And man, the faith that we all had, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you were to come to me and say, Neil, we've got about 85 to 100 people that are going to take on this kind of debt, and we don't even have enough money for chairs, and we're going to move into a building. And Ronnie will remember this. He was worried about how I was going to get paid, and I was worried too. But I figured I could survive for a couple of months, and you know, I knew that I could always go to Jim's house for beans and rice. So I knew I was going to be okay because God was going to take care of us, and we never missed a beat. Never missed a beat. And the congregation, the people that moved up here, we said, if you want pews, you have to buy your own. And if you really want to be a good Christian, you'll have to buy one for somebody else. And that's how all these chairs got in here, is people were willing to buy the pews. But the closeness of the group and the faith of the group was the most memorable thing for me. And then to watch God take that faith and bring us where we are today is unbelievable. And I'm looking at some of the guys that put work into this. Jan, would you hand Dave Wallace? Dave put together a slideshow for us. And I just, Dave, you got a favorite memory that you want to bring out?
Started was the best time I've ever had. And this building is strong. Those walls that they're talking about right here are 12 inches thick. I've never seen a concrete block 12 inches size. And they come over and done that at the first day and dropped them on the ground. And I said, what in the world is this? And it's, I believe, 26 feet. These walls are 26 feet, and every 8 feet is poured solid concrete. This place will be here forever. So that was my greatest.
I'll never forget, though, Dave, when we were talking about how are we going to mount that projector and that steel post is going to go up. You should have seen Dave up on the ladders. We finally brought in a lift, a man lift, so that we could get up there and work on it. And then figuring out how we were going to get the wire through those are solid oak. Those are, I say oak, I'm not sure, but they're solid wood. And they were brought in on a railroad car from somewhere up in either Tennessee or Alabama. And they brought them in here and erected. Then Dave had to crawl up there and figure out how to bring the wires down for the projector and the sound system.
Yeah, Jan, could you give that?
I spent almost 3 hours on that lift drilling a hole through that top beam up there. And we get one of the middle frames.
some welded together the apparatus that it's painted from, but it was quite an awful. And don't miss the slideshow that we got this afternoon, because it shows a lot of the construction up here, and you'll see how this thing was put together.
So another member that we had here was Paul Matches, and I remember Paul being in the dirt welding for us, and you were welding the things that hold these beams in place. Mm-hmm. Paul, you got a favorite memory as well?
Yeah, sort of.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a piano bar stretch from beginning to end throughout here. To line everything up, and the concrete finishers or somebody was—they kept hitting the wire. I hollered at them a few times, and it was just frustrating because it had to be exact. The holes were preset in the thing and in this column, and we had to put plates on there and get it all lined up. And the next thing you know, that piano wire had stretched 2 feet over to the side, and but we got it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Paul. Ron Moore was here, and actually Brian Moore was your helper on that. Ron, what's your favorite memory of going through all this during that time, other than giving Brian some work?
I think that the thing that I can recall that's dearest to me is when we all had to go down to the county and make a showing of support for the efforts that we were putting in up here. And I think that group of people convinced the commissioners or whoever it was that we were standing before and allowed us to go ahead with the project.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to turn it back to Ronnie, so you'll have to deal with the reverb here for just a minute. Ronnie, can you
hear you now? Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to give you another question. First of all, we're glad that you guys are feeling better, and we miss you. And, well, honestly, we miss Salida more than we miss you.
I understand that.
But... So give us some financial things that you had to deal with. I know you worked for free for the church for 3 or 4 years so that we could have someone in the office to take care of things.
Yeah. Financials were touch and go, perhaps is a good way to say it, there for a long time. We came up with our initial financing to buy the property, which was a couple of hundred thousand or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but we were able to somehow get a loan with no credit or no history or anything like that. That met a very nice loan officer at the time that helped us out a lot. And of course, God provided those people for us. There'd make no mistake about it. We had to do the financing for the building, and that was more difficult because it was certainly a lot more money involved. So we were able to contact, and it was suggested through the builder that we were able to do a bond issue. We basically sold church bonds that probably, I would say, maybe half of them were bought by members who put their own money up in a situation that, we were unproven or anything like that. And they risked their own money. Of course, some others were sold to other people too, outside of the congregation. But the bond issue went well. There again, from our shaky credit and stuff. And Neil, you were involved in that because you talked to you did the final push with a lady to help us get approved to sell the bonds. So we got those. Now the problem with the bonds was the interest rates were kind of high. So after we had paid on the bonds, we got the building done and everything, we were able to retire the bond issue by getting a bank loan at a very reasonable interest rate, which over the years had saved the congregation quite a bit of money, which allowed for other flexibilities and things like that. But And I think I understand that they've refinanced it since then. So good thing we trapped in those low rates as things are going back up. But it was exciting. You know, you'd have to sometimes manage, you know, we had to pay for the construction as we went along. And of course, we were retiring our cash. I know when we got down the end, we basically ran out of money. We didn't have enough money to pay off the last few contractors that we owed money to. So you talk about not getting our CEO. I was listening in the background. I was able to, the guy that was not allowing us to get a CEO was some of the guy that had done the piping, had some of the drainage had cracks in it. So the county wouldn't approve our CEO. Well, I was able to put him off about paying him, saying, look, we got to get our CEO before I can pay you. And so that put him off for a couple of weeks to do that. But we had a special contribution. And it exceeded our one last push. We exceeded our expectations, and we were able to get enough money to finish off paying everybody. A couple of the members chipped in some extra money. Thank you, Jim. Different things like that. But we were able to get everybody paid off, and it's my understanding that everybody's paid off and no one's come back for more money. So that's a good, but anyway. Oh, would probably be a good way to describe it.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Made some big pledges, even. Donated money, even financed some things during that time. And
happy to do it.
And now that you've done it, was it a step of faith for you, or was it just you knew God was going to come through?
I knew God was there. He had already demonstrated so many times in my life that things were going to be okay. He told me, he said, I've already been to tomorrow and it's going to be just fine. And so I knew that my little bit of help was going to be able to make this thing complete. And so I stepped up on faith. That was all it was. I knew that it was going to be fine.
And he stepped up on faith in a number of areas, not just financially, but one of my best memories of all going through this was the fact that each one of us had to have faith.
Absolutely.
We had members who made pledges so that we could build this building, and then got called to other jobs in other places. When we started meeting in the afternoon, there was about 120 of us. And for 2 years, we met in the afternoon. I got to tell you, every time we have to move chairs in here, I have PTSD from back then. Because every Sunday morning, my boys and I and Linda and Nancy, we would go into that auditorium. We would set up all the chairs, take down the tables and everything. And then Sunday afternoon, we would meet. And then we had to put everything back. Well, by that time, everybody was at the church and I just supervised because I'd already done my half. But every time I come in here and we have to move these chairs, I'm like, oh, no, not again. Not again, but it was good. I'm going to tell you one quick funny story, and then we're going to open this up for questions if anybody has questions for these guys. If not, I'll just keep asking. But the people that bought the building, what were they, Jim? They were Lutheran?
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian.
Close to Presbyterian.
Anyway, I was not familiar with some of the stuff that they do, but...
I remember that one.
Those of you who were here, they had a candle, and they had a special ceremony for that candle. That candle was there to represent the Spirit of God, and it was burning up front. And one of the first Sundays that I was there, I saw that candle, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, they left this candle burning. I need to put it out so it doesn't burn down the place. Well,
that was the eternal candle.
And so they had to have another ceremony and light another candle because I blew that one out. So, but they continued to be nice to me anyway.
Yeah, they were nice people.
And they had a table that they had turned into something else, and it was blessed by one of their priests and all, and I put my finger on it, and they said, "You're not supposed to touch that." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Jen, we got Wanda Groves in the back there. She's got her hand up. She's going to tell us something else funny I did. I just want to say, run, Forrest, run.
This is running.
I just wanted to say that group was Episcopalian.
Oh,
that's why they had
yes.
the candle and
yes.
all that. And also about Dave and Bobby, you know, Dave used to run out to Sam's Club and buy him a hot dog or some little sandwich about every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really good time.
If you didn't hear that, Dave was always running to Sam's Club to get Bobby a sandwich or a hot dog all the time because Bobby had to eat constantly. Renee?
I would call the church, this was the Sunshine Church because it was yellow.
One of the things that Renee did, and she had a group, but she had a group, it was mostly her, but she called them the Watering Angels, is that what it was? Because we had all this landscaping, and we had no sprinkler system, but she had to come out here because we planted all this landscaping, and it seemed like it was the middle of summer you were doing this, that she was watering every single day
yep.
to keep those plants alive. And so all the greenery we have now is because of Renee and all your helpers.
Because Ronnie will remember this, Bobby would say, "Stay in your car till I get there," because there was a bear or a cougar in the area.
That's absolutely correct. We've seen bear, cougars.
Yeah.
The most recent one was some kind of wildcat that somebody caught on a game trail camera back there. But the one I remember the most was Bobby called me out here before we started building, and we had, I think it was about a 6-7 foot rattlesnake skin where he'd shed his skin and had the rattles on it still that Bobby was chasing me with. So
Bobby was coming down the street from his home one evening, coming down here for something, and when his headlights hit the front door here, there were 3 deer camped out right there in the overhang where they were just laying there, apparently enjoying the warmth of the pavement. And when his lights hit them, they caught up and started looking off, and they took off into the field. But so there's all kinds of wild animals out here.
Yeah, there's deer still back here.
Oh, yeah.
Back
yeah.
in the back side of the property.
We own 15 acres, so there's still
Jan,
a lot of land.
Over here, we got Diane Moore wants
Diane.
To say something.
Can we have these people sit together?
Can we have these people sit closer?
You got it accelerated.
While we were talking about all the wildlife, I didn't want you to forget the Save the Turtle Project.
Oh, yeah.
So we have gopher turtles on this property. And as soon as we bought the property, one of our well-meaning members went around and marked all the gopher holes for us. And because gopher turtles are protected. So we had to spend quite a bit of money. I don't remember exactly.
Over $3,000.
To have turtles.
Ronnie will remember well.
We had to have all these turtles removed.
And replaced somewhere else.
And so what they did is for $3,000, they came in with a big backhoe, and they would dig the turtle up, and then they would take the turtle on the backside of the property, and they would rebury the turtle there. And so we did all of that, and then we get ready to start construction, and the turtles move back because they liked it up here.
And an old gopher turtle guy told us, don't reach down into that hole because they have friendly neighbors And I said, what do you mean friendly neighbors? He said, rattlesnakes are down there with the gopher turtle. They apparently like each other.
So we got the turtles to come back, and so we just kind of worked around them after that. But my favorite story about the gopher turtles was the day somebody rang the doorbell and they were white as a ghost. And I said, what's wrong? And they pointed to one of the graves over there, and there was a gopher turtle, and all you could see was sand being kicked up on each side of the headstone, and the lady was freaking out. Any questions? Anybody have questions? We got about 3 minutes if you have a question or you want to make a comment. Terry, you got something to say? You were in the middle of all this. You want to say something?
It's just great to see where we've come, where we came from, and where we've moved to. I remember me and Dad mowing this property for years when there was nothing here. Yeah. Yep. And then maintaining it even after. There was not a lawn service that we could afford. We were the lawn service.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We not only had you guys, but remember Wanda Barton cleaned this building for years for free that we would have a clean building. And Renee made sure we had supplies because we could not afford the supplies we needed.
And I think we'd be remiss to not mention Jim Kirby and Glenn Presser. And all the efforts they put in.
Jim Kirby and Glenn, between the two of them, they took good care of this building. But, you know, it hasn't just part and Randy Adams. Randy Adams actually did a lot of work around here. Randy, I was thinking about that. This screen right here is connected on two big hooks. I think your son welded for us. And Randy got on one side on the ladder, and I got on the other side on the ladder, and we carried that thing up. And, you know, it was not OSHA approved, okay? And we carried that thing up, and that's heavy, by the way. And Ronnie was down supervising, and Ronnie was having a fit that the two of us were doing that. And Randy and I both, we were too dumb to realize what we were doing could have been fatal. But we got it up. God took care of us. Right beside you, Jan.
A lot of people probably won't be here when the photos are shown this evening. But one thing I remember is Dave Wallace here in front of me, walking up and down these beams, pulling communication cable. Cat 5 and all Cat that 5. Stuff, you know.
Yep.
And he's the one that put all the cabling for communications and so forth.
This building was interconnected when it opened. It was a live, active building.
We couldn't afford internet, but it was ready.
But we had connections ready to go.
No, we got internet. I see our time is up. The sound booth is going to start the video so you can stay. We got two great videos for between class, so you can watch videos, you can visit, whatever. But the construction photos that Dave Wallace was able to save for us are there.
Let me say one more thing as we're getting ready to shut down. A comment that I like to share with people when, especially our brothers and sisters, when we are looking around and praising what God has done for us and is doing for us, I'm reminded of the fact that what we are is God's gift to you, and what you become is your gift to God. And this congregation has continued in the faith, continuing to grow stronger, and I am overly impressed when I came, each time I visit, that this is a stronger and stronger congregation. And you all are to be commended for it, because you're living in his faith.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Can we give Ronnie and Jim a hand?
Bye, Roger. Bye, Ronnie.
Ronnie, I don't know if you can hear everybody, but they're all saying goodbye to you and Salida.
That screen up there on your backs. my thought was, oh my, I may have to preach this Sunday. Fell off that ladder. So, and one more thing that's interesting. Of all the landscape that went in, the one thing, Brian Moore and I planted the shrubs between the parking lot and the cemetery. And the last time I was down there, they're still living. So I wanted to say that my contribution of landscaping had survived all these years.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Listen, love everybody. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. And once again, I'm sorry that we couldn't be there. But we'll see everybody.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.